Fiona, could I ask you what memory of Glenola Collegiate stands out the most for you?
I think most of my memories go back to Duke of Ed, that we started back in the 90s. The great team of staff that we've had and continues very strongly now. And I think it must be activities being away in the hills, getting out of school, those nice June days in August, being out in the hills. And the minibus, the first minibus we had, that was an absolute disaster. One of the mornings getting up on a Sunday morning after a long weekend in the hills and discovering that somebody had come and slashed the tyres in the night, and then having to try and get that all sorted out so that we could get the girls back home again. The days where you woke up and it had been snowing and your tent was caved in. One morning we got up and the battery was flat because the night before we had put the lights on so that the girls could see to put their tents up. Lots and lots of little activities and things like that. What else? In Donegal, we had the very first school group that we took to Donegal. There was a girl who was washing her transi in the lake beside it, and it floated, the lid floated out, and she couldn't get it, it was too deep. So she spent the rest of the day, they detoured their route and they walked along the lake following the transi lid the whole way down.
Classic.
So eventually we managed to get it with a big stick, but yeah, things like that. Walking through muck, people falling into bogs and breaking toes. One girl going up Troston in the Antrim Hills with her rucksack and her poles sticking out of the top, and there being thunder and lightning, and us chasing up after her to try and get her to put the take the poles out of her rucksack. Oh dear.
You write a book.
You could write a book about it, you really could. But I think the one that still makes me laugh the most is arriving at Trassie with a group of silver girls to do a day walk, and they had their rucksacks. It was only supposed to be a day rucksack, and we were doing our check as usual, but making sure that they had them on right and their straps adjusted. And we lifted one out of the minibus and it was a ton weight, and we asked her, what's in your rucksack? And she said, I've just got my waterproofs and my lunch and I haven't got anything else. And there was no way it could have been just that. So, of course, we opened it up, the rucksack, and out we pulled this big cast iron doorstop of a chicken that her sister had put in, because the week before her sister had done her gold Duke of Ed day, and the wee one had said, oh, that was easy, that you had an easy walk. So she thought, right, I'm going to stick this big heavy thing in and make a real nightmare for you for walking in.
Brilliant.
But every time I see that girl, that's what I think of, is that chicken standing in there. But yeah, Duke of Ed are my biggest memories.
Okay, and so, if you had the choice, would you rather be a teacher today or a teacher when you first started?
Probably when I first started. I think things were, there weren't so many rules and regulations. I was younger and fitter and able to do more and run around more. And we used to have lots of little activities for staff to do as well, and with the pupils. So we would have had the staff hockey matches, staff versus pupil hockey matches. Sitting in the old school at the front of the school, sunbathing at lunchtime. You would have had time to go out at lunch to go and have lunch instead of being stuck. I know we have longer lunches now, but there just seemed to be more time, more relaxed time. And in the summertime, when the exam classes went, there just seemed to be less pressure. Mm-hmm. Whereas now, there's so many things to do and there's so much paperwork that it just takes the fun out of it, maybe. And maybe, I suppose, as you get older and you take on responsibilities, you become more sensible, possibly, too.
When you think of Glenola Collegiate, what comes to mind?
Staff and friendships. I have made the most wonderful friendships that will be with me forever and ever. And there was one member of staff who I went through a pretty bad time, and I would not have coped if she hadn't been there for me. So I have to say, friendships are the biggest things from the staff for me. And I don't know what I'll do when I retire. I'll have to come back and annoy them all.
We start the staff club.
Staff, yeah, definitely I'll be at staff club.
They're a bunch of losers.
Could you describe your time in Glenlola in three words?
In three words? Can I go contribution, commitment and caring?
Certainly.
That, to me, sums up the school, and I think it sums up what, as staff, what we've put in. I think everybody gives their 100%, and we all really, really care for one another. And you know that people have got your back. Certainly within the science department, if there's a problem, we know there's people you can go to them, and you know it's not going to be, nobody's going to judge you. So there's people there for you, apart from Michael.
I will judge you every time.
He will always judge you. but yes.
Can we record this? Because it's a dreadful interview so far.
It has been a dreadful interview so far.
No, it has not. It's been great. It's lovely to hear those memories. So Michael.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Shanks to you.
Mr. Shanks, indeed. What memory of Glenlola would stand out most to you?
Right, now I have a chance to prepare in those few seconds. I would say school trips are a biggie for me. You tend to think of the stuff that's just happened recently. And when you've been 40 years, this is my 39th year, so it'll be 40 years next year, there's an awful lot that doesn't seem relevant to the current staff, but it was very relevant at the time. And the school trips was a really big one. I was supposed to give children who didn't get the chance to go off on continental holidays an experience of continental or a foreign culture, which it gradually became less and less relevant, but at the time it was brilliant, and I couldn't afford to go on holidays, and I got free holidays, which was super, and got away from my young family as well, which was even better. And there were just too many memories there. Just jotted a few down. One is in Venice. Apart from that, I mean, every trip was great crack. And there was always some issue, but it was outweighed by all the fun. But in Venice, a girl disappeared when we were trying to leave Venice, and I nearly had a seizure. It was awful. And I was certain something had happened to her. And when the police boat with a siren went past in the direction where she had gone, as we'd thought, I thought the worst. It was awful. It really left me a mess. That was possibly the most emotional thing I had in on school trips. It really ruined me, that. But she turned up. Oh yeah, she turned up. She had juked down some back alley with some young soldier. Oh yes, indeed. So right, well, apart from that, that was stressful. Then all the, we had two cruises around the Med, Holy Land cruises, which were a boat with like 650 pupils from different schools all over Britain. And you got lectures about where you were going, and then you had, you did the visit. Like 15 or 16 buses left the boat every time to go off on trips. So you're at the pyramids, and so going into the sweaty pyramids, that was stressy. Having your camel rides, girls being assaulted by locals because they didn't follow the instructions about covering their shoulders, floating in the Dead Sea, being in Nazareth, in the church in Nazareth, sitting on the toilets in Ephesus, experiencing that, standing and shouting out in the auditorium where in theory Paul would have given his address to the Ephesians. It was really, really pertinent and immediate, and it was a great time with the kids. They loved it. Night duty was another thing. Chasing around campsite in Bordeaux where the kids stayed in various chalets, and there were boys around. That was the constant issue, was the boys. And going in with Ian McCulloch into a girl's dormitory to check they're already going to bed. In those days, you could go in when there were like three of you. And asking, were there any boys? No, no boys. And we sort of looked around and found one in a wardrobe and another one crawled out of a mezzanine bed, you know, and came down looking very sheepish and says, is that the mall? And said, yeah, that's the mall. And went and looked in the bathroom, nobody there. But thought, we'll just check here behind the shower curtain and find another one behind the shower curtain. So that was a good laugh, I have to say. I mean, it was never terribly serious for us. It was good fun. Another one was coming across the Brenner Pass and two buses going to Venice and arriving late for various reasons. 1:30 in the morning. Didn't know where we were staying. And I had to go and ask in places with no German where is the place that I didn't know what it was. And ended up knocking on the window of this place, the only place that had lights on at 1:30. And it turned out it was it was a mental asylum. There was I didn't get much sense from the window. So again, that all odd stuff, but it did teach you as a teacher, you had to just stick your neck out and do things like loop the loops on a roller coaster. That was a big, but probably the biggest memory was a certain member of staff who I know won't mind me mentioning, Mrs. Neville, who was on all these trips and was great crack. And I remember sitting beside a lake in France and it was roasting hot, the girls were all running around, she decides time for a bit of sunbathing and took her t-shirt off because she was wearing her bikini underneath, ripped her t-shirt off and sat there. All the rest of the staff were lying down out for the count. I was sitting up because I couldn't take the heat and was looking straight at Judy as I realised, oh, she thought she was wearing her bikini but she wasn't. I said, Judy. And so she, we called her, that day was the day of the Ulster fry, the two fried eggs. And she loved it and she bought me a boob inspector hat because of that. So those are some of my memories there, yeah. Sorry, my dog.
Would you have one that makes you still laugh today?
Well, the boob inspector one was amazing. Yeah. There are just too many. As Lorna said, there's just too many in 40 years. And remembering them is hard. One was in the old school, where we had an It's a Knockout, would you believe, as an activity day with staff doing the things. And there was a slope, which is now the Academy all-weather football pitches, but there was a big slope there and they put a gigantic blue builder's polythene sheet down it and poured water and fairy liquid down it, and the staff had to try and get up the slope. And again, Judy Neville was in that bit, that she managed to, she was just lying in a pile at the bottom in hysterics, nobody could get up it. And the fact that staff were doing that and were willing to look stupid. The hockey matches as well, you know, staff hockey matches were great crack. Staff getting kidnapped, strapped to a stretcher and driven off on a Wrangler Jeep. Was Mrs. Porter. Was and then I was just great crack and slightly mad.
Do you remember the time that...
Do
you mind the time? They put up the big metal fencing around the school, in the old school.
Yeah,
and the huts were all enclosed in from the hockey pitch at the top, and there used to be people who would have walked through, take a shortcut through the school. And this girl, this woman, came from, must have been from the top of the school and was going to cut across, and she came to the barrier and she walked up and down, and the next thing she tried to get underneath it. So the teacher in the hut beside us and I were looking out, and she managed to get herself stuck underneath.
Hope you left her.
Well, I think the caretaker eventually came, and I don't know how we managed to get her out. But she was determined. She was coming through. She wasn't going to walk all the way around. Just ducked down and tried to work her way underneath, and was totally, totally stuck. Like, why would you ever do that?
So, Michael, if you had the choice, would you rather be a teacher today or a teacher when you started?
Well, I think it's obvious. I think it is, and you always hark back to the good old days. But I have to say, there were, as far as I can gauge. While there may have been, there was as much pressure at exam times, but it was pressure you put on yourself, and that the girls put on themselves, rather than feeling pressurised from outside that it's your responsibility and why did my daughter not get an A. They appreciated that you were, when you put time in. And they bought your presents. That's something as well that's gone. They would have bought your A-level classes. Now, I've got a present this year, but it is much less the norm that your exam classes would buy you presents and things like that. And that's not obviously not the reason you do it, but it gives you a sense that there's more of an expectation that what you do is your job, and you know what, you'd better do it well. You felt more appreciated in the old days. We're still stroppy parents who caused issues, but more often than not they were supportive if their child was off the rails. So that's one obvious thing. If you had a bit more time, you would have had one period a week you would have set aside to go and sit in the sick form centre and have coffee with the girls, which was lovely. You looked forward to it. You got to know that it wasn't necessarily pupils you knew, but you sat and chatted with them. And it was a lot more, it felt a lot more of a cooperation between the pupils and the staff rather than trying to force them to do stuff or feeling an expectation that you should do stuff. I'm not sure if that's quite right. So, I mean, in that respect, it was great. There were things that I would have done then that I can't do now. But I would have had my sixth form class every year at Easter time after they finished their exams. I would have had them round to my house for either an Indian meal or something, or a barbecue. And that went on for years and years and years. Always had them. And then it just started getting a bit more problematic, and slightly because of, you're having kids around to your house, and the fact that my wife and the children were there didn't really count. But that sort of side of things is, you just think twice about doing anything like that, and that I feel is a big crimp on how relaxed you can be as a teacher. You're constantly looking over your shoulder or thinking, is this the right thing to do? GDPR, can I do this? Can I do that? I've got to fill in this form for this, fill in the form for that. Can you not just do something if you think it's okay? And yeah, obviously there have to be checks and balances, and you've got to make sure that people aren't taking advantage of situations or behaving improperly. But it's like a sledgehammer to crack a nutshell, I think. Mm-hmm. And there's a lack of trust of what the staff do at times. I don't mean from within the staff, I just think people assume that stuff isn't right rather than assuming it is. Both pupils and staff, the ones I can remember. But there are still some pupils who I taught in my first years who are still in contact with me. In fact, one of them is blinking retired already, and I haven't. And she's married to a guy who's way older than me. But she got her first class honours and then worked in the Medical Research Council and was in special committees and select committees, and would speak before them in the Parliament. And has now retired and has herd of alpacas and a farm she's bought somewhere. So she's still in contact, and there's a couple of others still in contact, which is really nice. And I'm now teaching, come across many children of girls I taught. Mm-hmm. So there's that big contact, and some of them were very, very nice, but the main one would be the staff. And as this has been my only job, the one place I've worked, most of my friendship group is staff oriented, which sounds a real sad thing when you look at the staff, holy Moses, but it's a big, big part. And I know I'm institutionalized, and I'm more than a little concerned as to how I'm going to cope when I leave. So there will have to be, as Lawrence says, we have to make sure that we come back for things, and not just the staff club, where we're a bunch of losers, obviously. No, they're not. I will be. Will be part of. But you can see why people end up going to it after poo-pooing it while you're a teacher. Old fuddy-duddy's coming in, but you can see why you do it. So that would be the biggest part, probably.
Yes, and we do have things that we do together outside school.
Yeah, we're not
the
complete.
Likes of the Great North Run.
Yeah.
But now we have the wee team together.
Mm-hmm.
And
the
gin
nights.
What?
Gin nights.
Oh, gin nights.
Gin nights,
yes.
In your shed.
We do gin nights in my shed.
That's how you sell it.
Which is not a shed.
But
and then go off with go to the drink related. We went to the Hilden Brewery.
Hilden Brewery
for
yeah.
A wee trip on a tour and a drink. Cheese and whiskey last week with Richard and things like that. So
we do have a lot of things.
The Lake District, as you say, we head off a bunch of the Lake District every Halloween. So it's lovely having that friendship.
But you say the fact it's to me it's the staff that has kept me here. I mean, this is my 32nd year.
Lightweight.
So not quite as old as you, Michael. But and there have been a few occasions where I've thought of moving on somewhere else, but really I don't think that I ever would have moved.
Well, my personal thing is that I don't like change, OCD, and don't like change. But you know, I can't look anywhere else and think, you know what, I'd rather be there. I mean, one of the big things, a real silly big thing was coming to this school was that I drive from Dundonald. And I'm going the right way for the traffic. There's traffic's all coming the other direction, and I drive over the hills, and to be able to do that for 40 years, to drive over Craigantlet, has been very relaxing, as opposed to sitting in traffic, and that's just that's a real nice thing. So I think where else would you get a nice drive to school, to your place of work, and work with people you know, with kids who are generally very nice.
On that thought, then, can you describe
La
Lola in 3 words?
No. I thought of it. Could I stretch it to 4? Just to make it grammatically correct, because that is my forte.
Okay.
Just how lucky was I?
Oh, I like
none
that.
None of that 3 C's malarkey. But I just feel very lucky and fortunate that I ended up here.
Yes, I have to agree. I went
can't steal that one.
No,
no way.
I went to the what is now the academy, the girls' high school, whenever Glen Lola and the high school were joined together, and I would have looked through the join window. We had this block called the C block that joined on to the school, and I would have looked across and thought, oh, look at all those girls over there. I would like to go there, and never in a million years would have dreamt. And now when I look back in my life and think, if that wee girl knew that she would have been here for 32 years. And it just another year to go. Just amazing to think of. I do agree with you there.
Better not die before then.
No,
that would be good. Is there anything else you'd like to add? Anything you've been thinking?
I was brill. That was my other 3 words.
Past tense.
Yeah, it was, but that was a long time ago.
Thank you so much.
No problem.